97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Wiggins America.
I am not a number. I am a free man.
Wiggins America.
The only thing I'm going to need from you guys right now is a cup of coffee.
Wiggins.
Today's global economy waits for no man.
America.
Today's global business climate is like, whatever, dude.
Politics is a dirty game. I'm not sure we want to play.
There are forces here at work that you couldn't possibly understand.
You have no idea how high up this goes.
Welcome to Wiggins America.
Trigger happy. Trigger happy. Got an AK-47. Well, you know it makes me feel all right. Got an Uzi by my pillow. Helps me sleep a little better at night.
Of course, I'm playing this as a new bump song. I used a lot of the same bump music. I'm playing this one because of the Supreme Court decision on Friday to deban bump stocks. So what's interesting about that case is that this is a Trump ban on bump stocks. And the Supreme Court, regardless of what you think about bump stocks and their ability to give you fast firing capabilities, this was the right decision from the Supreme Court. And even look, if you hate bump stocks, like if you hate guns in general, you still got to understand the merits of the case were that this is not a machine gun. This is an accessory. It's not even a gun. It's an accessory to a gun. And so you can't regulate that under a law that regulates guns, because there are gun law regulations that have passed, at least at this point, passed constitutional merit. But, and you know, that's a different argument if you want to make that one. But this isn't even a gun. This is an accessory to a gun. And they tried to apply machine gun laws to this accessory. And the liberal justices basically said, well, this makes it into a machine gun. The six, the traditionally, I would say, conservative or constitutional judges, although some of the middle ones you don't know, they said, no, this is literally not a gun. You know, this you can't put this law to this. And if Congress wants to pass a law to regulate this, they can. But they haven't. And so that's why that's the right decision, again, regardless of your opinion on bump stocks. That's not even really what I was going to get into in this segment. Big hour. If you've been listening to the show, we are actually cutting down to 1 hour next week. Did that voluntarily because I have just... I'm maxed out. You know how they say when you stress-wise, you get into the red zone and every little thing sort of boils you over? I don't like scream. You know, everybody's boil over looks different. I sort of freeze. And I'm to that point where I'm doing so much that I'm freezing out. Like there's so many things in my brain that none of them work. And so I realized, even though I love doing the show, I have to cut it down for my sanity, at least temporarily. Now, maybe, you know, in a couple months, things change and I can go back to 2 hours. I have, it seems, from the station here and the management, the invitation to do that. So I guess the show is going well. But that's the plan. That'll start next week, just so you know what's happened. So 7 to 8 Saturday morning, 7 to 8 Sunday evening. Makes the time and the promotion real easy of it. But that's what's going on. I do want to talk in this segment before we run out of time here, because we want to have enough time to get to Jake Lang, and I want to talk about some of the sex laws in the United States in the next segment. Jake Lang is a January Sixer, by the way. That'll happen this hour. He's calling from prison. It's always radio at its finest. It's not smooth. So hopefully it will be. You know, stick around. We'll see. He's supposed to call in about half an hour from now. And tell his story again and with some updates. But are you a Star Wars fan? I am not. And I am sorry for those of you who are, because Disney has just about ruined that franchise. I'm not sure that they could have made me care less about Star Wars. It's one of those movies and franchises, especially the originals, that I've always been kind of like, oh, okay, it's fun. It's fine. And I watched each movie once or twice max in my life, and that has been plenty. I'm not into it. I really don't get the culture of it, but I also thought it was fine and fun. I had no problem with it. Disney, and look, I actually thought the episode 7 was not bad. I saw that in theaters. And then I think I saw 8. I can't even remember 9. I know people really criticize that one. But I didn't hate the new stuff from Disney. And I really like The Mandalorian, and I like Boba Fett. So, you know, I'm not like just anti this stuff because it's Disney. But when they come out with a new show, and you know, it's Kathleen Kennedy and all this stuff leading this stuff, it's super woke. And they're preachy. They're super preachy. And when they come out with scenes like this in The Acolyte, which is the new one, it's a bunch of witches chanting to use the Force to impregnate a lesbian woman because they're trying to do it all without men. I mean, that's in the new Star Wars. Here's the clip.
Power of one. The power of two. The power of many. The power of one. The power of two. The power of many.
Conversation with producer Ethan about this Star Wars, and he was saying, yeah, Disney's really ruined a couple franchises. I actually thought they did fine with Marvel. They just don't really know what to do with Marvel now. But with Star Wars, they legitimately got a franchise that was successful and have just driven it into the pavement. It's so bad. And we were hypothesizing, and I'm really coming at this. He was talking about it from a viewer standpoint, which is, of course, where most of us are. I was talking about it more from a writer's standpoint, that this is what happens. This is why woke television and woke movies are so bad. It's because when you come into a series, especially an existing one like this, but even if you're just creating a brand new story and you have your characters and your point is to take those characters from point A to point C, they wedge B in there in a lot of ways. And look, you have to write a story. I get it. But I was watching an old Richard Matheson episode of The Twilight Zone, and I'm a huge fan. I've interviewed Richard Matheson's daughter right here on Wiggins America. And he was talking in that episode of The Twilight Zone, the character is a writer, about how characters, when you start writing them, they come to life. They take on a life of their own. And it's very, very true. When I was writing my own novel, The Life of Human, it's 9 different characters talking about a robot who stops a robot apocalypse. Now, the robot is named Human, and he can't speak. So it's a bunch of first-person narration about these characters' interaction with that robot, and then it's broken up chronologically into a novel. It took me 12 years to write it. These characters are very distinct. I wanted it to be where if you could start reading from a page, you'd know who was speaking without seeing the name. I wanted the characters to be that distinct from each other. But once they become that alive, you have to let them make the decisions that they would make. The way I would put it is, You do have to be in the driver's seat because you have to be in charge of the plot. But you got to let the characters in the passenger seats all have a voice in telling you where they want to go. And you got to take the car there sometimes, even if you don't want to. The trouble with woke stuff, woke writing, and actually it's the trouble with any sort of preachy writing. It's why Christian movies aren't always very good either. It's because you take your characters and you try to use them to force a point, instead of letting a story be told. Woke stuff falls into this over and over. It becomes preachy, and they veer off onto side roads that they don't need to prove to you a point that you didn't need proved because the characters weren't going there. That's the trouble with preachy stuff, and that's the trouble with woke writing, is that they don't allow it to breathe. They're forcing you to hear something that they want you to hear. We got to pause for time. We'll be right back. Jake Lang, January 6th are coming up in this hour. Ah, yes, the logic of our sex laws. Thank you, Beck, for bringing that up. That's the name of that song, by the way. I'm not just coming into that cold. He hasn't gotten the chorus yet. That's my fault for not waiting longer. We'll get there at the end of this segment. In fact, we're going to talk about that a little bit here in just a second. But I wanted to update you on this. I should have updated Roy on this because he was part of the conversation. A couple weeks ago, we talked about this creepy house. Well, I don't know if the house itself was creepy, but I bought a house in 2023, so about a year ago, as a rental property. Well, in that house, after we purchased it, we noticed some things about it that were just odd. If you didn't hear this segment, I'm just catching you up real quick here. That one of them, on the outside of many of the doors, not all of them, like on the inside of the bathroom door, this was here. It was a little hook. And so nowadays, you just think you'd have a little lock there. But this is an older house. I think it was built in the 40s, maybe even 30s. And so on the inside of the bathroom door, there was a little hook that attached to the wall that if you tried to open the door from the outside, you wouldn't be able to do it. That seemed natural for a bathroom door. But then on the outside of some of the bedroom doors and the room that goes into the basement, or the stairs that go to the basement, the hook was there, which seemed weird to be on the outside of a door because you'd be locking somebody in a room. Then, so when I told this story, Roy kind of agreed, yeah, that seems kind of weird. But a listener checked in with us, and I apologize that I don't remember your name. Thank you for contacting the show, though. And he said, this was probably 2 weeks ago, sorry for not bringing it up sooner, that that was pretty common in the era, and it wasn't to keep kids locked in their room or anybody locked into a room or in a basement. It was to keep kids from going into those rooms when they weren't supposed to. So you would have been saying, kids, go play outside. I'm going to lock the door to your room. Or babies, you know, trying to push open doors that maybe didn't latch as well as they would now. You just, and the hook would be at the top of the door so they couldn't reach it. And so that's what he was saying. I was like, oh, that's good. That's good to know because it takes away a little bit of the creepy factor. But I got to say, he didn't address the creepiest thing about the room or about the house, which wasn't the hooks on the doors. It was that in the basement, there was a room that was built, and it's hard to say this because it's visual, but in a basement, you know, the easiest way if you need to add a room, even if it's just a little room, like to put coal in back then or so or whatever, would be to put two walls into a corner. So you're only building two walls instead of three, right? But they didn't do that. They built a room in the middle of a wall. So the one wall was already there, but they put three walls up around it. And in the one that faced the corner, like away from anywhere you could see, is about at, as an adult, you'd stand at about your waist. There are two fist-sized holes in the wall. And then a lock on the outside of that door, the hook thing on the outside of that door. Now, maybe it was to put an animal in. Maybe they had dogs or something. That's the best I could come up with. But it's weird that there were two holes on the side of that that were facing nothing. And the rest of the room was completely blocked off. That was the creepiest part, okay? So thank you for telling me about the hook thing. That's good to know. But somebody please tell me a great explanation for why you'd have a room in a basement with two holes for light, basically. All right, sex laws. Not exactly law related, but just like mores and folkways here. I had a thought waking up this morning, and it's in those kind of like twilight times when you're going to bed or you're waking up, that sometimes you'll have great thoughts, and sometimes I'll also even write those down. Oh, that's really good. I'll write that down. Not just for the show, but like a comedy bit or, oh, yeah, I need to call that person. Just anything, right? Everybody does this. I just happen to be one that will actually write it down and then go back to sleep. I had one of those this morning that really almost scared me, and I thought, well, I need to vet that out on the show this weekend. If we've gotten to a point in society where your sexual preferences, whatever they may be, are predetermined and you have no control over them at all, then that's a very scary place to be. And I realize that this is like religious topics, like this is don't touch it topics especially to the left, but really they try to push that on all society. Like, don't talk about these things. You can't break from the orthodoxy of this religion of sex and sex laws and sexual principles and things. So I get that, and there's a reason for that. It's entirely because of control. They don't want you to be able to question the narrative here. But if there is no control, like Lady Gaga has a song called Born This Way, and that was the way the left pushed. It's I want to say politically, but it's really not just political. Like, this is a huge social movement, and it's not just the United States. This is like the whole world, especially the Western world, is dealing with these issues involving sex. If it is baked into your DNA what you are, and that's also the transgender claim too, is yes, I was born with a penis, but I am a girl. And I would ask the question still, like, well, where are you a girl? Like, in your soul or in your thoughts or what? Because if you start talking about in your inner being and a soul, then we really are talking about religious things, and I'd like to have that discussion. But it usually doesn't get that far because it just kind of wiggles out of it. But the scary thought that I had this morning when I woke up was, if that stuff is baked in, and we're trying to get to a point where the right and wrong is really determined by the individual because they choose, I'm not trying to use the word choose, actually. It's that they are predetermined to have same-sex attraction, or that they're predetermined to be a different sex by their own rules, their own sex laws. If that's true, and that's the kind of the mantra that we've accepted overall as a society, then how do you apply that to pedophiles? Do you see where I'm going with this? That's why I got shooken up. Now, this is stuff we've talked about. You think we kind of were hitting on it with Roy earlier, but we didn't go here. That if your sexuality is baked in, that you just are that way, that's part of your, whatever you want to call it, your soul, your DNA, your makeup of who you are is your sexual preference, then the next logical step would be, well, then you didn't choose to be a minor attracted person. That's why they're using that phrase now. You were. It's baked in. That's who you are. It's who you were meant to be. You shouldn't have to apologize for that. In fact, we should alter laws around you. That's why it's scary. That's where it's going. You wonder why we do all this pushback and why, oh, conservatives are obsessed with talking about this stuff. Well, if we don't, if there's no salt put on these things, there's no stop, there's no checks and balances. You know, the stuff about men playing women's sports, you know, that stuff, it doesn't personally affect me. I don't actually have any girls who are competing against boys who are claiming to be girls. Maybe I will someday, so maybe it's worthwhile talking about. It's more that if you don't address it, it's just going to keep going. That's why we talk about it. That's why we have to talk about it. I don't really want to talk about these things. I wish we weren't dealing with these problems. But we are, so we have to say something about it. All right. Now that that's off my chest, we're going to talk to Jake Lang next. Now, here's the deal. Jake has been on the show before. He is in prison currently because of his involvement with January 6th, 2021. The story is, and we'll retell this, that he, as of January 6th, 2021, he went to prison shortly after. He has not had a trial, and he's still in prison. That is against the Constitution. It is currently happening. We will talk to him from prison. And if you heard our interview with him a couple months ago, he actually has a pretty big update that I'm looking forward to sharing with you, which is why we're having him back. So stick around. Hopefully this all works out. A lot of logistics with getting somebody on the phone from prison. So hang with us here on Wiggins America. On the phone with us from federal prison, Jake Lang. So glad we could catch up again because, Jake, we talked back in February. And for those who didn't hear your story then, there's updates, which is why we're talking here. But I want to fill people in who are not familiar with your story, Jake. I understand you got voices in the background there. It's okay. You're calling from prison. This is what we got to do here. But tell me exactly what people need to know before we get to the updates.
Hey guys, hey, what's up, Ryan? God bless you. My name's Jake Lang. I'm a 29-year-old January 6th political prisoner of the Joe Biden regime, the dying regime that's lashing out like a cornered animal on all of its political opponents, arresting and mass incarcerating thousands of peaceful protesters that went to the Capitol to protest 3.5 years ago, his communist coup d'etat. And I'm one of the January 6ers that said, I will not shut up. I will not sit down. I will not surrender. And I will call out this Marxist regime at every corner and every chance I can. And for that, I've been tortured and left in solitary confinement and separated from my friends and family for years. It's been 1,243 days today. I've been incarcerated without a trial.
You went into prison when you were 25 years old in 2021. You are still there now, and you have not had a trial.
Yes, I'm 29 years old now, 4 birthdays in the slammer. I've been incarcerated the entire presidency of Joe Biden, just to put it in perspective. You know, how many vacations I've had, how many family barbecues and birthdays and holidays and Christmases and loving times worshiping God at your local church that you guys have had, enjoying a freedom that is hard fought for by patriots like founding fathers. And so just put it in perspective, guys, freedom isn't free. And we're willing to go through this hard battle and stand up for American liberty. But we need your guys' support. We need you guys out there making sure that, you know, we don't go silently into the night, that we're not lost and forgotten.
Jake, what you're experiencing is a violation of the Sixth Amendment, the right to a speedy trial as given to us by our founding fathers in the Constitution. So what you're experiencing is something that is new in America because we have safeguards that are supposed to protect you against these things. For those of our listening audience who have not heard your story, tell us what happened on January 6th and what was your experience there that landed you in prison?
Well, you know, it was first and foremost, it was a beautiful outpouring of American support, patriotism, love of God, love of country. And what it turned into was a defense for our country, a defense for our republic and our defense of our lives. After Donald Trump gave an amazing speech, you know, detailing out how the election was stolen, we marched down Constitution Avenue. We were outside the Capitol peacefully protesting. The Capitol Police started firing tear gas and concussion grenades and stinger ball bullets and all kinds of incendiary devices to basically rile up the crowd. And they got what they wanted. They were injuring people. And the American spirit of 1776 was rife within us. And we stood up and defended ourselves and drove the tyrants back over the hillside. And historically, you know what happened. Everybody knows what happened. 4 people were murdered, unarmed Americans. Ashley Babbitt was shot in the throat. Roseanne Boylan was beaten and trampled to death by the Capitol Police. And 2 men died of a heart attack. Kevin Greeson and Benjamin Phillip, all these are American heroes. And, you know, we took the Capitol building from the tyrants for the day. We showed up to peacefully protest. We showed up with the intention to use our First Amendment redress agreements. They escalated the fight to a physical one, and we showed them these colors, red, white, and blue. We don't run, and we don't hide. We don't cower. We don't back down. And they took it to us, but we took it back to them. And, you know, as history will show, 3 men stood up against tyranny that day, and without a single shot fired on our side, the people were back in the people's house.
Jake, when you say they escalated the fight, who is they? Is it the FBI? I mean, who are you talking about that on January 6, 2021, escalated the fight against the peaceful protesters?
The Capitol Police and the Metropolitan Police Department were the exactor of this deadly force against the American people, but the strings were being pulled by the FBI, Nancy Pelosi, the brass of the Capitol Police, the House Sergeant at Arms, those people, Captain Steve Sund and Assistant Yogananda Pittman and Chucky Schumer and all of the, you know, the vile communist Democrats that want to see our country just devolve. They're behind it. And, you know, at the same time, like I said, it was the spirit of 1776, and we did show unity and a great show of American, you know, force. what could be done when we are united. There was a more insidious, more deceptive plan behind that in order to create imagery that the Democrats can use for 3.5 years now to villainize Trump and Trump supporters. I don't see it as villainizing us. I see it as a great American imagery of the people inside the people's house and waving American flags and, you know, saying the deep state and the tyrants, you know, they got to go. But other people, you know, the mainstream media complex and the Democrat Party and the J6 Select Committee garbage congressional propaganda machine, they used it as a political weapon. And I guess that if we're brave enough, we can use it as our own imagery tool. And I have been. I've been boldly standing up saying what happened on January 6th is what our founding fathers would have done.
Jake, when you say that from your experience, that, and I don't know that we covered this last time we were talking, but you said from your experience there on January 6th, 2021, the Capitol Police were deliberately escalating violence to a political end.
Of course. That's well known. We're seeing that just a couple days ago, a video came out of Nancy Pelosi admitting and taking responsibility for the violence and for the lack of security. It was purposely left understaffed, and they were purposely given orders, I believe, and which Tarek Johnson, the Routine's Capitol Police officer, the manager there, basically the highest ranking guy that was on the ground, believed that it was a setup. And, give me 1 second. I got to reconnect them. My phone minutes are up in the prison here.
Okay. No problem. We can hang on. Hey, this is what it's like, right? This is what we got to do. So we'll hang on. Jake, I'm glad you brought that up. I don't know if you can hear me right now, but I'll continue to kind of fill until you can. The Nancy Pelosi thing. I mean, I almost forgot about that, that was this week. That's been January 6th news that we haven't talked about yet on this show this week. I think people have mentioned it a little bit on 97.1. It hasn't broken all the way through, but she has attempted to make it break through because Pelosi, after this video, if you haven't seen it, she's taking responsibility for not having enough security or basically her oversight over the security, the Capitol Police, which is what Jake was just saying. She says, oh, this was my fault. And I think she's lamenting and saying that she should have had more of them there. Now, she doesn't go into what he was just saying, which is that he's saying that they were intentionally escalating violence that day. But she does take responsibility for her part in it. And it's a video from January 6, 2021. Now, because that has surfaced now, Nancy Pelosi has gone about doing interviews on MSNBC. And, oh, hang on, he's back. Jake, you there? I will hang on a second. Keep going. I'm going to drop that. See if we can get him back. She's been doing all these videos and news interviews on MSNBC basically saying, oh, it was all taken out of context. But there is context. The whole thing is itself. You're not really taking it out of context. You're just hearing her talking to somebody in a car. She's wearing the mask, so it's a little bit tough to hear. But here we go. Jake, are you there? Well, we may not be able to finish the interview with Jake. I'll tell you what. If we can, I'll come back on the other side of this break, and we'll finish out the show with Jake Lang. I mean, this is what happened. You're calling from prison. He's calling from federal prison. We didn't get into his story. If you want to hear it, you know, we can go back to the podcast. But hang with us here on Wiggins America. On the phone with us from federal prison, Jake Lang. So glad we could catch up again because, Jake, we talked back in February. And for those who didn't hear your story then, there's updates, which is why we're talking here. But I want to fill people in who are not familiar with your story, Jake. I understand you got voices in the background there. It's okay. You're calling from prison. This is what we got to do here. But tell me exactly what people need to know before we get to the updates.
Hey, guys. Hey, what's up, Ryan? God bless you. My name's Jake Lang. I'm a 29-year-old January 6th political prisoner of the Joe Biden regime, the dying regime that's lashing out like a cornered animal on all of its political opponents, arresting and mass incarcerating thousands of peaceful protesters that went to the Capitol to protest 3.5 years ago, his communist coup d'etat. And I'm one of the January 6ers that said, I will not shut up. I will not sit down. I will not surrender. And I will call out this Marxist regime at every corner and every chance I can. And for that, I've been tortured and left in solitary confinement and separated from my friends and family for years. It's been 1,243 days today. I've been incarcerated without a trial.
You went into prison when you were 25 years old in 2021. You are still there now, and you have not had a trial.
Yes, I'm 29 years old now, 4 birthdays in the slammer. I've been incarcerated the entire presidency of Joe Biden, just to put it in perspective. You know, how many vacations had, how many family barbecues and birthdays and holidays and Christmases and loving times worshiping God at your local church that you guys have had, enjoying a freedom that is hard fought for by patriots like founding fathers. And so just put it in perspective, guys, freedom isn't free. And we're willing to go through this hard battle and stand up for American liberty. But we need your guys' support. We need you guys out there making sure that, you know, we don't go silently into the night, that we're not lost and forgotten.
Jake, what you're experiencing is a violation of the Sixth Amendment, the right to a speedy trial as given to us by our founding fathers in the Constitution. So what you're experiencing is something that is new in America because we have safeguards that are supposed to protect you against these things. For those of our listening audience who have not heard your story, tell us what happened on January 6th and what was your experience there that landed you in prison?
Well, you know, it was first and foremost, it was a beautiful outpouring of American support, patriotism, love of God, love of country. And what it turned into was a defense for our country, a defense for our republic and our defense of our lives. After Donald Trump gave an amazing speech, you know, detailing out how the election was stolen, we marched down Constitution Avenue. We were outside the Capitol peacefully protesting. The Capitol Police started firing tear gas and concussion grenades and stinger ball bullets and all kinds of incendiary devices to basically rile up the crowd. And they got what they wanted. They were injuring people. And the American spirit of 1776 was rife within us. And we stood up and defended ourselves and drove the tyrants back over the hillside. And historically, you know what happened. Everybody knows what happened. 4 people were murdered, unarmed Americans. Ashley Babbitt was shot in the throat. Roseanne Boylan was beaten and trampled to death by the Capitol Police. And 2 men died of a heart attack. Kevin Greeson and Benjamin Phillip, all these are American heroes. And, you know, we took the Capitol building from the tyrants for the day. We showed up to peacefully protest. We showed up with the intention to use our First Amendment redress agreements. They escalated the fight to a physical one, and we showed them these colors, red, white, and blue. We don't run, and we don't hide. We don't cower. We don't back down. And they took it to us, but we took it back to them. And, you know, as history will show, 3 men stood up against tyranny that day, and without a single shot fired on our side, the people were back in the people's house.
Jake, when you say they escalated the fight, who is they? Is it the FBI? I mean, who are you talking about that on January 6, 2021, escalated the fight against the peaceful protesters?
The Capitol Police and the Metropolitan Police Department were the exactor of this deadly force against the American people, but the strings were being pulled by the FBI, Nancy Pelosi, the brass of the Capitol Police, the House Sergeant at Arms, those people, Captain Steve Sund and Assistant Yogananda Pittman and Chucky Schumer and all of the, you know, the vile communist Democrats that want to see our country just devolve. They're behind it. And, you know, at the same time, like I said, it was the spirit of 1776, and we did show unity and a great show of American, you know, force. What could be done when we are united. There was a more insidious, more deceptive plan behind that. in order to create imagery that the Democrats can use for 3.5 years now to villainize Trump and Trump supporters. I don't see it as villainizing us. I see it as a great American imagery of the people inside the people's house and waving American flags and, you know, saying the deep state and the tyrants, you know, they got to go. But other people, you know, the mainstream media complex and the Democrat Party and the J6 Select Committee garbage congressional propaganda machine, they used it as a political weapon. And I guess that if we're brave enough, we can use it as our own imagery tool. And I have been. I've been boldly standing up saying what happened on January 6th is what our founding fathers would have done.
Jake, when you say that from your experience, that, and I don't know that we covered this last time we were talking, but you said from your experience there on January 6th, 2021, the Capitol Police were deliberately escalating violence to a political end.
Of course. That's well known. We're seeing that just a couple days ago, a video came out of Nancy Pelosi admitting and taking responsibility for the violence and for the lack of security. It was purposely left understaffed, and they were purposely given orders, I believe, and which Tarek Johnson, the Routine's Capitol Police officer, the manager there, basically the highest ranking guy that was on the ground, believed that it was a setup. And, give me 1 second. I got to reconnect them. My phone minutes are up in the prison here.
Okay. No problem. We can hang on. Hey, this is what it's like, right? This is what we got to do. So we'll hang on. Jake, I'm glad you brought that up. I don't know if you can hear me right now, but I'll continue to kind of fill until you can. The Nancy Pelosi thing. I mean, I almost forgot about that, that was this week. That's been January 6th news that we haven't talked about yet on this show this week. I think people have mentioned it a little bit on 97.1. It hasn't broken all the way through, but she has attempted to make it break through because Pelosi, after this video, if you haven't seen it, she's taking responsibility for not having enough security or basically her oversight over the security, the Capitol Police, which is what Jake was just saying. She says, oh, this was my fault. And I think she's lamenting and saying that she should have had more of them there. Now, she doesn't go into what he was just saying, which is that he's saying that they were intentionally escalating violence that day. But she does take responsibility for her part in it. And it's a video from January 6, 2021. Now, because that has surfaced now, Nancy Pelosi has gone about doing interviews on MSNBC. And, oh, hang on, he's back. Jake, you there? I will hang on a second. Keep going. I'm going to drop that. See if we can get him back. She's been doing all these videos and news interviews on MSNBC basically saying, oh, it was all taken out of context. But there is context. The whole thing is itself. You're not really taking it out of context. You're just hearing her talking to somebody in a car. She's wearing the mask, so it's a little bit tough to hear. But here we go. Jake, are you there? Well, we may not be able to finish the interview with Jake. I'll tell you what. If we can, I'll come back on the other side of this break, and we'll finish out the show with Jake Lang. I mean, this is what happened. You're calling from prison. He's calling from federal prison. We didn't get into his story. If you want to hear it, you know, we can go back to the podcast. But hang on. We'll go through this break, see if I can work this out. We'll be right back. All right, great news. We've got Jake Lang back on the phone with us, calling from prison. So, of course, there's always technical problems. It's not the easiest thing to do. Jake, thanks for sticking around and coming back with us.
Thanks, Ryan. God bless you guys. You know, freedom ain't free. We're fighting through every obstacle. They are throwing at me some obstacles that when I start to detail what's recently happened to me, your audience might cringe because it's so inhumane and disgusting what the Biden regime is resorting to silence me to do. And this is just transpired recently, and this may be the last time for a while you guys hear my voice, because I will be in solitary confinement very soon for a couple months for simply doing interviews like this one.
Wait, now explain that to me. Now, is somebody doing this as retribution because you're speaking out? I mean, what's going on?
100%. you know, for the last 3.5 years, I've, you know, conducted the Political Prisoner podcast, had on amazing guests like Laura Logan and Mike Lindell and Dinesh D'Souza, and just awesome people, even former Capitol Police officers that are whistleblowers. And we've been creating such an impact with the documentaries, right? The Truth About January 6th documentary, it's the number one viewed video ever on Rumble still. And the outreach and the organizations, we raise money for the Jan 6ers. So we're just, by God's grace, he's put a, you know, a powerhouse team around me of volunteers, and we get stuff done and we get our voice out. And now that the election is so close and the Jan 6ers voice has become such an election issue, you know, Donald Trump just mentioned in Nevada again, the January 6th warriors, he called us. He's going to give us pardons. They're trying to shut down my voice, which is, you know, one of the figureheads of the movement from prison. And they just wrote me institutional charges, on every single interview I've done in May. You know, they detail out, I had on Ben Burquam from Real America's Voice, and then I went on Jeff Cruer from Real America's Voice, and then I had I was on the Big Mig Show with Lindell TV. And so they have this indictment on me, but there's no crime. It's just an indictment. He did this interview and he did that one. These are First Amendment rights. This is what our founding fathers died for. I'm an accused American citizen. I'm innocent until proven guilty, and I'm getting my voice out to the American people. And apparently that's a no-go in the Biden regime. And so what they're resorting to silence me is sticking me in a sensory deprivation chamber, completely removing me from society, putting me on the rooftop of the Brooklyn Federal Prison I'm at right now, and torturing me.
So, Jake, I want to highlight here, you're being put in solitary confinement, assuming that there's nothing that you've done in prison to warrant that, then you are being put in solitary confinement and have already been in prison for over 1,200 days, as in almost 3 years now, maybe four, is it close to four, all because, and in spite of, I should say, that you have not been tried for a crime. You're just put in prison based on suspicion of a crime.
100%. And now they're trying to silence my voice. So, guys, what you do to help? Here's the number one thing. In the upcoming weeks, as I go through this, we're going to be releasing a set of documents and videos and things, calls to action that you guys can do. I need you guys to get plugged in on my social media, on my Twitter page. Go to Jake Lang J6 right now. Follow that page. Turn on the little notification bell. Guys, get involved, because this fight that we're about to have is like, you know, the final fight for a man is to not lose his voice, right? That's like our thing that makes us human beings, to communicate with one another. And they're trying to take that vital, sacred, you know, God-given right from me. And I will not go down without a fight, so I'm going to be launching a hunger strike that I'm doing from my prison cell, and we're going to be giving daily updates. You know, my fiance, God bless her soul, Rachel, she's going to be giving updates, and we need you guys plugged in. This is a battle. The reason why this battle is so important is because I'm just the furthest along in the political imprisonment as anybody else is. This same plan, what they're doing to me to silence me and torture me, is the same thing they have planned out for Donald Trump, the same thing they have planned out for Steve Bannon and all the other Jan 6ers. I'm just further along down. It's like I'm, you know, the furthest in the evolution of what it is to push up against the regime. So please, guys, follow Jake Lang J6 on Twitter.
Jake, since we don't have all the time that we were supposed to have, I want to tell people that they can read your book if they want to hear the whole story, because we can't get into everything here just because of time. It's called Patriot Prisoner, patriotprisoner.com. But I do want to hear the update before we run out of time here. You said that there was footage, there was news that completely exonerated you of the crime that you haven't even been charged for, and I want to hear about that. Shame. I think we may have lost him again. Jake, can you hear me? I can't believe it. We lost him again. Well, I guess this is the end of the show, so we're going to have to wrap up. If you do want to hear the whole story, here's the deal. You can go to Jake Lang on Twitter. You can find him on Twitter. He communicates with anybody, really, on there, which is how I found him. I found his story fascinating, and really the crux of his story is what we keep mentioning. He has been put in prison since October of 2021. He was 25 at the time. I believe he's 29 now. He's missed the better half of his 20s in prison for his... Jake, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, Ryan. God bless, guys. I want to give a final message before I have to go here. You know, freedom isn't free. You know, the regime that we're up against is a tyrannical and oppressive one. But there is a power in the name of Jesus that supersedes all of the worst mechanisms of the enemy. And no matter solitary confinement, no matter removal from religious services or sunlight or having enough food to eat, no matter what they put up against me, Christ lives in me, and he who lives in me is greater than he who lives in the world. And you guys need to turn towards the Bible and turn towards your faith in God during this time to strengthen yourselves for the eventual battles to come. This is spiritual warfare. Get tuned in to the only way, truth, and life, Jesus' name. Read your Bible. Pray fervently. Get involved in your local communities. Lead and do not follow, and be the men and women that God created you to be. Thank you, Ryan. God bless you guys. Until you guys hear my voice again, check in on my Twitter account right now. Go on Twitter. Go on X. Make a profile if you don't have one. Jake Lang, L-A-N-G, Jake Lang, J6, the letter J, the number 6. Jake Lang, J6 on Twitter. Thanks, Ryan.
Jake, I can't end the interview any better than that. Thank you so much. I know that we are losing you here and there, and I think he's gone. I mean, this is what it's like, right? I took the interview knowing it wasn't going to be pretty radio, and it's not. This is what's really happening, and I'm glad that you've been privy to it, because this is real. I mean, this is this young man's life, and it is very, very sad what we have decided to do in this country. There's a reason why the Founding Fathers wrote the Bill of Rights. It's because of this. They wrote this into the Bill of Rights, the Sixth Amendment, the right to a trial, the right to a speedy trial. It is right there if you want to read it. And again, if you want to read his story and decide for yourself, I think that you will find that that you're on the same side of this as I am, that this man has been treated extremely unjustly and unconstitutionally. And we got to keep talking about it until it changes. He's calling. It sounds like it's tough to call. Well, thanks for tuning in. PatriotPrisoner.com if you want to get his book. Wiggins America, if you want to get the podcast and listen to all of this. Of course, you can hear the full interview. I think we actually did more of his story last time we talked to him. So if you want to hear more of his story, it was a little less cut up than we had to do this time. But there it is. This is Wiggins America every weekend here on 97.1. Thanks for tuning in.
Get more at 971talk.com.
All right, great news. We've got Jake Lang back on the phone with us, calling from prison. So, of course, there's always technical problems. It's not the easiest thing to do. Jake, thanks for sticking around and coming back with us.
Thanks, Ryan. God bless you guys. You know, freedom ain't free. We're fighting through every obstacle. They are throwing at me some obstacles that, when I start to detail what's recently happened to me, your audience might cringe, because it's so inhumane and disgusting what the Biden regime is resorting to silence me to do. And this is just transpired recently. And this may be the last time for a while you guys hear my voice, because I will be in solitary confinement very soon for a couple months for simply doing interviews like this one.
Wait, now explain that to me. Now, is somebody doing this as retribution because you're speaking out? I mean, what's going on?
100%. You know, for the last 3.5 years, I've, you know, conducted the Political Prisoner podcast, had on amazing guests like Laura Logan and Mike Lindell and Dinesh D'Souza, and just awesome people, even former Capitol Police officers that are whistleblowers. And we've been creating such an impact with the documentaries, right? The Truth About January 6th documentary. It's the number one viewed video ever on Rumble still. And the outreach and the organizations, we raise money for the Jan 6ers. So we're just, by God's grace, he's put a powerhouse team around me of volunteers, and we get stuff done and we get our voice out. And now that the election is so close and the Jan 6ers' voice has become such an election issue, you know, Donald Trump just mentioned in Nevada again, the January 6th warriors, he called us. He's going to give us pardons. They're trying to shut down my voice, which is, you know, one of the figureheads of the movement, from prison. And they just wrote me institutional charges on every single interview I've done in May, you know, they detail out. I had on Ben Burquam from Real America's Voice, and then I went on Jeff Cruer from Real America's Voice, and then I had I was on the Big Mig Show with Lindell TV, and so they have this indictment on me, but there's no crime. It's just an indictment. He did this interview, and he did that one. These are First Amendment rights. This is what our founding fathers died for. I'm an accused American citizen. I'm innocent until proven guilty, and I'm getting my voice out to the American people, and apparently that's a no-go in the Biden regime. And so what they're resorting to silence me is sticking me in a sensory deprivation chamber, completely removing me from society, putting me on the rooftop of the Brooklyn Federal Prison I'm at right now, and torturing me.
So, Jake, I want to highlight here, you're being put in solitary confinement, assuming that there's nothing that you've done in prison to warrant that, then you are being put in solitary confinement and have already been in prison for over 1,200 days, as in almost 3 years now, maybe four. Is it close to four? All because, and in spite of, I should say, that you have not been tried for a crime. You're just put in prison based on suspicion of a crime.
100%. And now they're trying to silence my voice. So, guys, what you do to help? Here's the number one thing. In the upcoming weeks, as I go through this, we're going to be releasing a set of documents and videos and things, calls to action that you guys can do. I need you guys to get plugged in on my social media, on my Twitter page. Go to Jake Lang J6 right now. Follow that page. Turn on the little notification bell. Guys, get involved, because this fight that we're about to have is like, you know, the final fight for a man is to not lose his voice, right? That's like our thing that makes us human beings, to communicate with one another. And they're trying to take that vital, sacred, you know, God-given right from me. And I will not go down without a fight, so I'm going to be launching a hunger strike that I'm doing from my prison cell, and we're going to be giving daily updates. You know, my fiance, God bless her soul, Rachel, she's going to be giving updates, and we need you guys plugged in. This is a battle. The reason why this battle is so important is because I'm just the furthest along in the political imprisonment as anybody else is. This same plan, what they're doing to me to silence me and torture me, is the same thing they have planned out for Donald Trump, the same thing they have planned out for Steve Bannon and all the other Jan Sixers. I'm just further along down. It's like I'm, you know, the furthest in the evolution of what it is to push up against the regime. So please, guys, follow Jake Lang J6 on Twitter.
Jake, since we don't have all the time that we were supposed to have, I want to tell people that they can read your book if they want to hear the whole story, because we can't get into everything here just because of time. It's called Patriot Prisoner, patriotprisoner.com. But I do want to hear the update before we run out of time here. You said that there was footage, there was news that completely exonerated you of the crime that you haven't even been charged for, and I want to hear about that. Shame. I think we may have lost him again. Jake, can you hear me? I can't believe it. We lost him again. Well, I guess this is the end of the show, so we're going to have to wrap up. If you do want to hear the whole story, here's the deal. You can go to Jake Lang on Twitter. You can find him on Twitter. He communicates with anybody, really, on there, which is how I found him. I found his story fascinating, and really the crux of his story is what we keep mentioning. He has been put in prison since October of 2021. He was 25 at the time. I believe he's 29 now. He's missed the better half of his 20s in prison for his... Jake, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, Ryan. God bless, guys. I want to give a final message before I have to go here. You know, freedom isn't free. You know, the regime that we're up against is a tyrannical and oppressive one. But there is a power in the name of Jesus that supersedes all of the worst mechanisms of the enemy. And no matter solitary confinement, no matter removal from religious services or sunlight or having enough food to eat, no matter what they put up against me, Christ lives in me, and he who lives in me is greater than he who lives in the world. And you guys need to turn towards the Bible and turn towards your faith in God during this time to strengthen yourselves for the eventual battles to come. This is spiritual warfare. Get tuned in to the only way, truth, and life, Jesus' name. Read your Bible. Pray fervently. get involved in your local communities, lead and do not follow, and be the men and women that God created you to be. Thank you, Ryan. God bless you guys. Until you guys hear my voice again, check in on my Twitter account right now. Go on Twitter, go on X, make a profile if you don't have one. Jake Lang, L-A-N-G, Jake Lang, J6, the letter J, the number 6, Jake Lang, J6 on Twitter. Thanks, Ryan.
Jake, I can't end the interview any better than that. Thank you so much. I know that we are losing you here and there, and I think that that's, well, he's gone. I mean, this is what it's like, right? I mean, I took the interview knowing it wasn't going to be pretty radio, and it's not. This is what's really happening, and I'm glad that you've been privy to it, because this is real. I mean, this is this young man's life. And it is very, very sad what we have decided to do in this country. There's a reason why the founding fathers wrote the Bill of Rights. It's because of this. They wrote this into the Bill of Rights, the Sixth Amendment, the right to a trial, the right to a speedy trial. It is right there if you want to read it. And again, if you want to read his story and decide for yourself, I think that you will find that... That you're on the same side of this as I am. That this man has been treated extremely unjustly and unconstitutionally. And we got to keep talking about it until it changes. He is. He's calling. It sounds like it's tough to call. Well, thanks for tuning in. PatriotPrisoner.com if you want to get his book. Wiggins America, if you want to get the podcast and listen to all of this. Of course, you can hear the full interview. I think we actually did more of his story last time we talked to him. So if you want to hear more of his story, it was a little less cut up than we had to do this time. But there it is. This is Wiggins America every weekend here on 97.1. Thanks for tuning in.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.